This is the RightsCast Network at rightscast.net.
Former adult film star Robin Weathers has skated by as Pornucopia's do-nothing accountant for years. And who can blame her? Her supervisor has only encouraged her dilly-dallying, and it's given her oodles of time to do what she loves most, coach the talent at her mentor's feminist pornography studio. But then the IRS comes knocking. With her supervisor unable to bail her out, Robin can either come clean and risk her friendships and career, or buck up and find another way to skirt the system. No matter how she chooses, along the way she'll have to confront her blossoming feelings for the man she's enlisted to teach her accounting, and the return of the woman she's always loved, who's finally ready to try to make things work. Accounting for It All by R.R. Campbell. Available November 2018 from 9 Star Press. For more, visit rrcampbellwrites.com/books. That's rrcampbellwrites.com/books. Thanks for listening. Novels, short stories, screenplays, we've covered a breadth of media to date on the RightsCast Network, with at least one notable exception. Poetry. This episode's guest has written across all of these media and joins us today to dive into poetry and how it compares with other writing endeavors. Hey there, I'm R.R. Campbell, and welcome to episode 41 of your listener-supported R.R. Campbell RightsCast here on the RightsCast Network. In this episode, I interview writer extraordinaire Nathan Elias, author of the novelette A Myriad of Roads That Lead to Here and the chapbook Glass City Blues, Poems. Originally from Toledo, Ohio, Nathan spent 6 years in L.A. writing screenplays and working on films. He currently lives in Tampa, Florida, where he focuses on fiction and poetry, with his latest writing projects consisting of a collection of short stories and a novel. He holds an MFA from Antioch University, Los Angeles. Now that we've had a chance to get to know our guest, Nathan Elias, let's get right into my conversation with him. Stay tuned afterward for updates on future episodes of the show, and thanks, as always, for listening. Thank you very much, Nathan Elias, for joining me here on the R.R. Campbell RightsCast on the RightsCast Network. I'm so glad you could join me for this conversation.
Thanks for having me, Ryan. I'm a huge fan of RightsCast. I love the podcasts. Keep them coming. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you so much for that. I'm really glad to have someone who, you know, started as a listener and can now join us as a guest. So why don't we get right into the heart of this conversation? We're talking today about poetry and being a writer who has written not only poetry, but in the world of fiction as well. So let's start with poetry, though. What led you to writing poetry? And did you start there, or did you find your way to it through some of the other things that you've done, whether it's screenwriting or other fiction writing?
I think I first fell in love with poetry sometime around 2009. I was taking a class led by the poet Rain Arroyo, who passed suddenly in 2010 of cerebral hemorrhage. He really inspired his students, and he just had a way of inviting people who were non-poets to feel at home at the table while workshopping, and just encouraged all kinds of creativity, and there was a no shame zone. You could write whatever your heart desired. However, I'd been writing screenplays and fiction well before I took poetry seriously. I'd been writing from a young age, and sometime in high school, I really fell in love with making films, and I started to make them with my friends. I was really eager to immerse myself in writing in film, so much so that when I started college, I was really thrilled to indulge in creativity on a higher level. And it was also in 2009 that I moved into this place called the Collingwood Arts Center, which housed artists and writers of all kinds. I remember growing up in Toledo, Ohio, seeing this place, the Collingwood Arts Center. It's like this really old, scary looking castle near Toledo, and I just remember thinking, you know, wow, this is where bohemians must thrive.
Right.
I found, you know, in my early 20s, it was a great cheap place to live for artists in the area, and they had this weekly poetry night hosted there by these two poets, Michael Grover and John Dorsey, who also lived at the Collingwood. And with that poetry night, as well as a few others held in Toledo, I really fell in love with the culture of poetry and I began to take it more seriously. And for a few years, filmmaking, fiction, journalism, and poetry went hand in hand for me. I found ways to fuse them all together in my life. So jump forward a few years, I graduate from the University of Toledo and I started working in film right away, which led me to Los Angeles for 6 years. And for my first 4 years there, my life was entirely film, screenwriting, acting, television, auditioning, and really being a part of that circuit. And during this time, I wrote poetry seldomly, and I would submit it for publication, but nothing, I got no bites, and that was kind of discouraging for me. I actually wrote quite a lot of poems during this time, but nothing escalated. And around 2014, I published my first short story. So then I kind of let poetry fall to the wayside and I took my fiction more seriously. But the thing about being in Los Angeles and Hollywood is being part of that grind, it just made me really jaded from Hollywood. Film, screenwriting, acting, all of that, which was such a big part of my life. I found myself being more drawn to literature again, and I really fell back in love with just the joy of writing and being alone with books, which starting in that private journey, which, you know, film is a very collaborative medium, I really loved the ability to just sit and spend time with a poet who might not even be alive anymore. And it was around 2016 that this love of books, you know, I started reading a lot of collections of short stories. And I think it was because I had the one story published that really got my courage to try my hand at it. I was reading just every short story collection I could get my hand on. So I applied to the MFA program at Antioch University, Los Angeles, with a few drafts of some fiction I had written. I was accepted after being rejected from quite a few schools over the years. And at that point, I just gave my life to writing. And although I studied fiction while I was at Antioch, my wife, who was mostly a visual artist and educator at that point, she began to be exposed to poetry through some of my fellow students at Antioch. And because of her, I fell back in love with poetry. We started writing together and going to workshops at this place called Beyond Baroque Literary Center in Venice. And I generated some new poems and I started to formulate this chapbook, and my poems actually started to get accepted and at a higher rate than my fiction, which made the fiction writer in me pretty jealous. And I guess at that point I just said, you know what, I'm going to try both.
Well, that's really interesting. You know, you've had a real breadth of experience, it sounds like, both, you know, working solo, working in some related but distinct industries as well, all pertaining to writing. And I'm a little curious, you hinted at it a bit in your previous response, but I want to know, how do you approach poetry differently than you approach writing, whether it's for film or for a short story, for example?
I approach poetry and fiction quite differently. Maybe one way to put it is that I will start a poem. I feel like I start a poem with my heart or my guts, and I tend to start fiction with my mind. However, sometimes I find that poetry will evolve into fiction. A poem might present itself and I'll write it and later discover that it was really the seed for a much deeper story that grows into fiction. Actually, one of my poems, I was writing a poem which I scrapped entirely, and I used it verbatim later in one of my short stories.
Oh, very cool.
Another way to think of it is, usually with poetry, I find that I'm trying to convey feelings or ideas, which feelings and ideas seems to me more accessible and immediate with poetry than with fiction. And with fiction, on the other hand, I usually start with a character, or perhaps a group of characters, or maybe an arc that I want to tell over time. And then there are differences in the writing itself. With poetry, I will labor over each line for a long time. While I do this in fiction, and I know writers will labor over sentences until they want to, I mean, I know writers who can spend hours and hours on one sentence in a manuscript, but I find it easier to free write fiction as it comes to the mind. And later I might throw all of it away only to try to rewrite it or tell it in a different way. For example, the novel I'm working on now, I wrote two drafts of it. And for my third draft, I started from scratch. I used the previous 200 pages as notes, and I started entirely new from a blank document. With poetry, though, for me as a writer, I need to write it in real time. So I have to keep writing and writing and writing that one poem until it's perfect. But for a novel or a short story, I'm happy to endure that challenge for months on end. And I know other people I have studied with at my MFA program, for example, those who focus solely on poetry, they take their work into the same category. They will work on it over time. But for me, if I'm writing one poem, I need to see it through the same day or week from when it started to generate.
I'll say there's actually a similarity in that process to something that I experienced when I was sort of dabbling with poetry a few years ago. And it was this idea that in order for me to really capture that feeling, you know, kind of what it is that you say comes from your heart or from your guts, I also had to write it normally like the first quote unquote draft of it all in one sitting and just let it pour out and then still be able to come back to it pretty immediately thereafter, whether it was within a week or a couple of weeks. Otherwise, you kind of, at least for me anyway, it felt like that spirit was lost. And maybe that's kind of what it's like on your end as well.
I think that's an interesting way to put it. The spirit is lost, because when you have that guttural feeling, it's kind of like trying to capture lightning in a jar. You know, it comes to you. And I know that there are similarities in the writing, in that if you're writing a work of fiction, it might be the same way, perhaps with flash fiction, or maybe you have an idea and you need to get it all down in notes with fiction. But with a poem, I definitely get that feeling of like, if I don't capture this now, who I am at this moment in time, I fear that it will be lost forever. So that I need to retain it, capture it, and harness it before it flees.
And thinking kind of back into something else that I think was part of your response was this idea that in poetry, at least perhaps compared to a short story or a longer, perhaps novel length work of fiction, is that theme is just so critical. I mean, every word has to do so much more heavy lifting in the area of theme. And with that in mind, if we're talking about it in terms of the spirit that we don't want to relinquish or allow to flee, it's super critical that we sort of cling to it or capture it in a jar as if it were lightning, kind of like you mentioned, so that we don't lose the, you know, the strength of the words or the strength of the idea as it's sort of taken us in that moment. So I think that that also kind of amplifies the need to make sure that it's written right away, as opposed to perhaps with a short story, or as I'm working, for example, in a novel in my case, I might have an idea for a scene, I might visualize it in my head, but there's no big need for me to throw myself at the keys and necessarily write it right away. I can kind of tease it out in my head back and forth, because it isn't going to be every single word carrying as much weight as it does in something like a poem, where getting that meaning across, getting that feeling across is perhaps more critical on a word-by-word basis.
I love thinking of it that way. You know, when you're thinking about, it's all a matter of scale. If we're
right,
putting poetry on one hand and fiction on the other, where you say, talk about scenes and how they might relate thematically in a work of fiction, when we look at the whole scope of the story, you might think of a line of poetry you know, on the same scale of a scene in a novel. And while I could talk about theme all day, it's one of my favorite things to talk about. The thing about poetry is the theme might not reveal itself to me until later. Whereas, and this is just me as a writer, when I'm writing fiction, I usually have an idea of what themes I'm writing with. But with poetry, the themes, it seems more like it's integrated into me as a person when I'm writing it. I almost never will write a poem premeditated, where fiction, I will mull over notes. I keep a composition journal just so that I might sit down with coffee one day and say, what are some ideas and themes that I want to explore for the next year in this novel that I'm trying to write? But where poetry might differ is, you know, if you are, let's say you've been writing poetry for a few months, you might say to yourself, oh wow, I didn't even realize that there are several themes here that I've been exploring. And you might then say to yourself, well, if I choose a couple themes, I might be able to compile these poems into one book or a chapbook or a full-length book, depending on how ambitious you might be. And yeah, I could talk about theme all day and how that relates to the writing process.
Right, and it is something that comes with such, I don't know, a theme has this sort of gravitas surrounding it, and I think it is one of the reasons why we covered actually theme in a novel approaches episode on the RightsCast Network. That was with John Adamus and Sione Ashleman. So interested listeners, you can head over to rightscast.net and check that out, because obviously from this conversation we're having right now, there's a lot that can be said about theme, whether it is in poetry, whether it is in flash fiction, whether it's in a novel length work of some kind. So feel free to check that out if you are interested as a listener. But for now, let's maybe focus in perhaps on transitions. You know, if you are a fiction writer who's listening to this podcast and you are interested in writing poetry, you know, what advice can you give to someone, Nathan, who might be looking to make that transition? What are some things that they should keep in mind?
I really encourage fiction writers to read poetry if they're not already doing so. Poetry, it's a powerful way to jumpstart the imagination, as well as a way to linger on language. Reading and writing poetry, it can really help a writer hone in on each and every word that goes into a sentence. And it can also allow a writer to play with words in ways that might not always be appropriate for a traditional fiction. And if you're a fiction writer interested in getting into poetry, my suggestion is to just try it. Sometimes it can feel difficult to try poetry, considering the fact that poetry can take on many forms, especially if you might have a preconception of poetry, the different forms it can take, such as absidarian, or a ballad, or a sonnet, or a ghazal, haiku. These type of forms might push a fiction writer into thinking, you know, there's too many stipulations here before I try my hand. But my suggestion is to ignore that if you haven't written poetry already, and to take the abstract part of your mind and put that on paper, where writing traditional fiction, there's usually, in my opinion, it seems like not that much room for abstract writing. But abstract thought and almost surreal thought can take you into new horizons with poetry. In fact, it's almost where, for me, where a lot of my poetry starts is with the abstract. So I wouldn't worry about forms off the bat. And if you find that you write and keep writing poetry and like it, then I encourage you to look at some of these different forms and find that they can actually be quite liberating, not only for yourself as a poet, but thinking in terms of, you know, how a ghazal, an Arabic lyric poem that has usually like five closed couplets that rhyme, A, B, A, C, A, etc. Thinking in these ways can sort of help encapsulate you as a fiction writer and make you think systematically, which I think can therefore can thus help you grow in terms of structure. A lot of people don't like structure, but I think if you really let it become part of you as a writer, it can actually open you up. So I say take it line by line. Try to find a nucleus or a centrifuge in the poem, a central theme and a turning point, and make each poem have a beginning, middle, and end, just as you would a short story or novel. Write a draft, put it aside, come back to it, read it aloud over and over, just as you probably should with fiction, until it feels perfect. And, you know, have fun. Try to adopt a persona or explore a side of yourself that you might not with fiction. Allow it to be a break from your fiction, because in many ways there are rules with poetry, some might argue, but at the same token, there are no rules. It can be almost equated to trying your hand at painting. It can feel like a totally different medium at times. And when you start to put colors to a canvas, you'll start to see things in yourself as a creator that you might not have seen if you've been writing only fiction for years of your life.
It certainly sounds like there's a lot of opportunity in making the transition from writing fiction to writing poetry, or even just using poetry as a means to break up what can become a perhaps monotonous slog of writing a novel or something along those lines. So I appreciate that perspective. And one thing that I think it might be worth elaborating on a little bit is you've mentioned a few parallels between writing poetry and other fiction. We talked for a bit on theme. You mentioned in there that you want to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. So let's kind of tease that out a little bit more, or maybe offer up, if you would, some other parallels that might exist between poetry and writing other fiction. And if you don't see any other parallels, perhaps why not?
Well, the thing is while I think poetry can be used as a tool for fiction writers, let's say you've been in the throes of a novel for a good year and you feel you're at the point where you feel like you're banging your head against the wall trying to finish this thing, poetry can be a tool or an outlet, even if you don't want to be quote unquote a poet. But if you're someone who really wants to try to publish in both, the thing is that my take is I don't really see many parallels. I feel this way about most modes of creative writing, whether it's creative nonfiction, screenwriting, or playwriting. We can draw parallels amongst these forms of writing because it is creative writing, but each one to me requires a different tool belt and a different agenda. I think poetry can affect readers more quickly and more directly than fiction. Also, it feels to me that poetry is more accessible, as I said earlier. While I'm not suggesting that poetry is easier to read, someone might be more inclined to read a few poems that only take up 3 pages with ample white space than a story that takes 10 pages with little white space. And when it comes to parallels between writing the two, some that I can find are things like the question, who speaks? Who is telling this to a reader? I think that there can be a tendency to assume that the speaker in a poem is the author. But I would argue that poetry is more fictive than we might want to imagine at first glance. It's easy for us to want to say that the poem is about the writer. But I think that poems on the page have a narrator, just like a work of fiction has a narrator. I think a lot of people have the desire to look at poetry almost as they would a memoir and think this is the writer's story. But one parallel I would draw with poetry and fiction exclusively is this fictive narrator that comes out, and it can really be anyone speaking. If it's a traditional form. I know we have things nowadays like autofiction is really popular. Those are just a few parallels that I would draw, but mostly it seems to me if I'm going to write a screenplay, I have to put on my screenwriter hat, or I have to put on my poetry hat, depending on what my agenda is for this time in my life or this assignment. And it seems like keeping them separate to me is really important, because in the past I have tried to allow them all to bleed together. And when I did that, it seemed like my work wasn't as strong or distinct. And learning the craft of each form of them can allow you to grow not only as a writer, but as a person, as a reader, and a literary citizen.
I think there's some really good food for thought in all of that. You know, it's interesting to hear that, you know, you're in a position where you've been able to have the success that you've had in a few different modes here, so to speak. And therefore, it's kind of important to keep them separate from one another, to really feel as though you can embrace them. And I think that that's really interesting. And I think that that is something that is perhaps worth considering for some creatives who might feel as though they struggle to jump between one mode or the other. Certainly, if that works for you, great, go for it. I'm the kind of guy who once in a while will like to step away and dabble in short stories for a while, or quick dabble in, I don't know, it's been years since I've really worked on poetry, but that can be a nice little break for me too. But whichever approach, you know, one has, I think it's important to develop that understanding of oneself, and then from there be able to make it work in the way that is best for us. And I know that based on what you have coming up here in the near future is the release of a new chapbook. So I'm curious, Nathan, can you tell us where we can find your poetry and other work, and tell us a little bit more about this chapbook, if you would?
Yes, my second chapbook is called Glass City Blues Poems. It's forthcoming from Finishing Line Press in September of 2018. My first chapbook is called A Myriad of Roads That Lead to Here. It's a fiction novelette which was released in 2017 from Scarlet Leaf Publishing House. I have a lot of poems, short fiction, and films available on my website at nathan-elias.com. For the last few years, that's pretty much what I've been doing, is writing short stories and poems. The short stories are part of a collection that is a finished manuscript now. Hopefully the collection, currently titled The Cost of Love, will be published. We'll see what happens. But at the moment, I'm finishing my first novel manuscript, which I've been at work on for over a year now, and I'm currently putting the finishing touches on it before I reach out to representation. So there's the novel, there's the collection of short stories, the chapbook of poems, and we'll see what else happens. I'm in love with writing in every medium, and I'm always trying to test myself and see what I'm good at, what I'm not so good at, and it's a constant struggle for all writers out there. My advice is to don't give up, try to find time to write every day, keep revising your work, and just put it out there, and do not fear rejection. I currently have over, you know, like probably 200 rejections that I've accumulated in the past few years, and they're still growing.
And I also understand, Nathan, you have some samples prepared that you would like to read for us. It's a total of 3, I do believe, so feel free to share those with us whenever you're ready.
Yes, these are all from the forthcoming chapbook, Glass City Blues. This first poem is called Ghost of a Toledo Girl. At 16, I couldn't get Kurt Cobain's name tattooed across my chest, so I stitched patches of my favorite bands onto a sweater and wore it like armor to protect my heart. Mom's shotgun only made the myth more real. Death, a fairy tale about escape. In a city made of mirrors, I saw nothing but infinite misery. From the other side, I cannot weep for my mother or myself, but I can sing loud enough to shatter glass, hoping she will hear me and forgive. I search for what cannot live or die, like music or emotion, me at my last concert with a broken, bloody nose, smiling without a care. The second poem is called Playing Your Old Guitar on the 4th of July. It worked. You smiling, strumming as you sang a verse moving me with those bony fingers picking thin strings, calloused. You cautioned the wooden skeleton in my hands. You said, just feel its neck and body. Press the bronze down on the fretboard. Let the skin almost break. It burned like your vacant touch when the watercolor sky crescendoed. I wondered if you understood the language of light and fire and blood. How else could you have known the perfect tempo to play along with the horizon? You alone possessed a fluency of music enough to interpret me. And this third poem is called A Shallow Argument at Venice Beach. The Pacific begs me to swim away, anything to keep us from strangling each other on the boardwalk. The freak show is where our love belongs, a two-headed oddity feasting on dust and bone until there is nothing left of us. You sell watercolors of women's faces, and I write the words nobody wants to remember. I want you to paint me. You want me to write about us. As the sun sets over the ocean, I fade into your torn canvas. Nobody knows we're fighting. Even seagulls refuse the scraps of our misery. We become debris, swirling shreds of paper in the salty wind. That's all of them. Thank you.
Yeah, very good. Thank you for sharing those with us. Some really evocative stuff and a nice taste of what we can expect from Glass City Blues, which will be out from Nathan Elias here in September of 2018. So thank you, Nathan, for sharing those with us. Thank you so much for joining me here on the RightsCast Network. It was a pleasure.
It's definitely my pleasure, Ryan. Thank you so much for having me. I can't wait to read Accounting for It All and Empathy, your forthcoming novels. I'm really looking forward to them. So best of luck and congratulations with your writing.
And there concludes my RightsCast Network interview of Nathan Elias, poet, author, and screenwriter. Thanks to Nathan for joining me and for his kind words, and thanks to you, dear listeners, for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you heard here today, don't forget to find the RightsCast Network on iTunes or Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. Or if you want to be a superhero like our other RightsCast patrons, you can visit patreon.com/rightscast. We're always thankful for the support of our patrons, most especially Wise Mentor Kristen Oakley, who achieved Wise Mentor status by pledging $3 per episode. Kristen's support is of immense assistance in helping the RightsCast Network become self-sustaining, and in exchange for her contributions, Kristen and patrons who donated $1 or $2 per episode receive wonderful patron rewards, including RightsCast Network swag, votes in the annual RightsCast Awards, and, at the higher levels of support, partial manuscript critiques. If these rewards sound like something you'd be interested in, visit patreon.com/rightscast to pledge your support. Again, that's patreon.com/rightscast. Coming up next on the R.R. Campbell RightsCast, we'll be joined by MFA graduate Jay Dimitri, who offers advice to writers seeking to apply for Master of Fine Arts programs in creative writing. Then we'll be visited by guests Mel Goh and Noelle Nichols, who'll share their experiences in the world of self-pub and offer advice for those who are considering it for their own books. Until those episodes debut, you can keep up with all things RightsCast Network by visiting us at rightscast.net or by following us on Twitter at RightsCast. You can, of course, check out my other writerly content as well by visiting rrcampbellwrites.com or following me on Twitter at @IamRRCampbell. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, this is R.R. Campbell signing off. Write on and write well.
This is the RightsCast Network at rightscast.net.